So today's message is entitled Speak Clearly on the 24th of May 2026. Speak Clearly. I'm going to start with a reading from Acts 2, 1 to 18. Because it is Pentecost Sunday, it would be a bit remiss of me not to talk about Pentecost. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each one of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "Well, they've just had too much wine." And then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy." Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. One of the most self-defeating things is to try and explain something to someone using a language that they don't understand, or come to that terminology that they are confused by. They've never heard it before. When a person starts asking questions about Christianity or being or becoming a Christian, it can be very tempting to speak in what is known popularly these days as Christianese. Yeah, that's right, you might as well be speaking Chinese to them if the words you use make no sense to them. If someone has no church experience or no concept of sin, no concept of redemption, you might be wasting your time telling them something like, "Oh, you need to be washed in the blood of the Lamb." The very concept of holiness, redemption, righteousness, and even God's forgiveness might be completely alien to them. They are unlikely to understand words like justification, sanctification. Even the Lord's Prayer might be difficult to them. I mean, what does forgive us our trespasses mean? I mean, trespassing is where you get caught by the gamekeeper, isn't it, on private land? You see, without even realizing it, we can communicate the truth of the gospel, whatever that might be, badly or in a confusing manner. That's why we need to speak clearly in a language that is simple and preferably without a strong accent, unless you happen to come from the same area as the person you're speaking to, of course, because people like to hear their own accents, maybe even years after leaving their own country. But yeah, we need to speak clearly. It's important. And as simply as possible when we're sharing the good news about Jesus. But there's one thing that will make your communication even more effective than that, and it's this. When the Holy Spirit comes on someone in power, it's the Spirit of God doing the communicating. And if you don't interfere or grieve him, then the effects on the person you're talking to can be very powerful and divine. Let's look at Acts 4, 7 to 13. They had Peter and John brought before them and began to question them. By what power or what name did you do this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are being called to account today for an act of kindness shown to a cripple, and are asked how he was healed, then know this, you and all the people of Israel, it is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is, as they say, the stone you builders rejected, which has become the capstone or cornerstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." And when they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. Remember, after the crucifixion, the disciples scattered and ran away into hiding, concerned that everything had gone wrong. Jesus was dead, as far as they were concerned, and those that had him killed might be trying to track down and get rid of his disciples as well. However, as a direct effect of what happened at Pentecost, they were transformed into brave, confident evangelists who were more than willing to clearly communicate the good news about Jesus. This infilling of the Holy Spirit was the most effective part of their ministry from now onwards. Allowing God to speak through you, whoever you are, is more powerful than anything you can learn naturally, no matter what your intelligence level or what your natural gifting is. No one can speak into someone's heart better than the Spirit of God. So how did the disciples know about the promise of the Holy Spirit? Who informed them of what to wait for and where to wait for it? In Acts 1, 1 to 5, we read this. "In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven. After giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen, after his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: 'Do not leave Jerusalem, But wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." You see, Luke, who wrote Acts, remembered that Jesus had forewarned the disciples not to leave Jerusalem until the gift had been given. A gift from God to all who were waiting for it obediently. You had to be there to receive it. Remember, Acts 1 said, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, of like mind, like faith, all together, expectant, waiting, open hearts, open arms. It was their commitment to fellowship and worshipping God that put them in a position to receive the gift of God. They didn't know exactly what to expect. They didn't know anything about flames of fire and things and wind noises, but they knew what it was when they received it. They knew what it was. It was life-changing and equipped them for all kinds of ministry. The Apostle Paul spoke in tongues too, even though he wasn't waiting together with the disciples. It was several years after Pentecost that Paul became a believer. Even though Paul was originally a persecutor of the early church, the Holy Spirit came on him on the road to Damascus, didn't it? Do you remember? He had a different experience to the disciples because Paul ended up being confronted by the risen Spirit of Jesus and ended up blind for a while, until he was miraculously healed and filled with the Holy Spirit after he was baptized. However, this is what Paul had to say to the Corinthian church about speaking in other languages or speaking in tongues. And this is what Paul said. From 1 Corinthians 14:1 to 19, we read, "Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Indeed, no one understands him. He utters mysteries with his spirit. But everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. He who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless he interprets, so that the church may be edified. Now, brothers, if I come to you and speak in tongues, what good will I be to you? Unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or a word of instruction. Even in the case of lifeless things that make sounds, such as the flute or harp, how will anyone know what tune is being played unless there is a distinction in the notes? Again, if the trumpet does not sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? And so it is with you. Unless you speak intelligible words with your tongue, how will anyone know what you are saying? You will just be speaking into the air. Undoubtedly, there are all sorts of languages in the world, and yet none of them is without meaning. If then I do not grasp the meaning of what someone is saying, I am a foreigner to the speaker, and he is a foreigner to me. And so it is with you. Since you are eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in gifts that build up the church. And for this reason, anyone who speaks in a tongue should pray that he may interpret what he says. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my mind. I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my mind. If you are praising God with your spirit, how can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you're talking about? You may be giving thanks well enough, but the other man is not edified. I thank God that I speak tongues more than all of you, but in the church I would rather speak five intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Just going back over there. How can one who finds himself among those who do not understand say amen to your thanksgiving, since he does not know what you're saying? He doesn't know what you're talking about. In other words, speak clearly. Do you remember from Acts 2 it said, in the last days God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Prophesy. To speak the words of God clearly and in alignment with the word of God in Scripture. Reliant and amplifying the Bible. I'm going to finish with a short reading from 1 Peter 4:11. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. I'll say that again. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength that God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Speak clearly. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we thank you for today's message, short as it may be. I pray that it is clear that spiritual gifts exist and they are not show-off things, and they are sometimes not useful unless it is clear what the message is. So Lord, make us very clear to people who are asking questions, that we can give an explanation for the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And Lord, that our testimony might be in a clear, understandable language, that Jesus is Lord of our lives and that he forgives all things when we confess and repent. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.